If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Things have not been working out so well for Donna Adelson. You may be surprised to learn that. I know she seemed very innocent signing the checks for a hit person. You know, talking about the we problem, the us problem with her son who's convicted. And, you know, just overall, she seemed like a really lovely woman. You know, the woman that was, you know, wanting to hear everybody else's opinion, their thoughts, their feelings, and then go according to what the next generation wants.
Wow. 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 Somebody's sugarcoating that.
Yeah, no, that's not Donna. And we've learned quite a bit in the last 2 days of testimony. We're going to focus here today on the testimony of her, I guess, estranged son. I mean, they were at least calling on holidays or anniversaries up until the murders took place. Rob Adelson, he's the ENT that's out in New York, and, you know, has, I think he identified the problems in his family early on and said, I don't want to be a part of that. So
smart man.
Good Very for you. And then we're also going to take a look at testimony from the ex-boyfriend of Wendy, who I think almost does more to implicate Wendy in on this than Donna, which is interesting. And it's not the first time he testified. He testified in Charlie's trial. He testified, I think it was just Charlie's. I'm not sure if he testified in the McBonna or anything like that. But he's another interesting character. And it really gets spooky just how twisted it seems that he might have been an attempted scapegoat and kind of some weird last minute planning here by the Adelsons. At least if you read the tea leaves on the questions that he was asked by Wendy, like right before the murders took place. Mm-hmm. But let's start with Rob. The question for this man who has some distance from the family is, you know, who is the leader of the family? Who is running the show? Give us some insight on your mom, Donna Adelson. And here's what it means.
Based on your personal observations throughout your life, of your parents and of your siblings, who is the leader in the family? Who tends to run the show?
I think my mom.
Okay, so Donna Adelson?
Yes.
Would you describe Donna Adelson's personality as being more controlling or more laid back?
I think more on the controlling side.
What about, is she kind of a more assertive person or a more passive person?
A more assertive.
What about your dad, Harvey Adelson? What's his personality like?
I think he's more more passive, more go with the flow.
Okay. So they're kind of opposites in that way a bit?
Yeah.
When you and your siblings were growing up, was Donna Adelson a very involved parent?
Yes.
And when I say involved, as far as with your life and with your friends and with school and with that type of thing?
Absolutely.
Did she have certain fixed ideas throughout your life of certain things she wanted to happen in you and your sibling's life?
Yes, absolutely.
Was it acceptable if you decided to not do those certain certain things that she was fixated she wanted you to do? Was that acceptable to her or no?
No. I think she had certain sort of rigid fixed ideas or impressions for what she wanted for us. And if you went along with that, things were fine. If you didn't, things were not fine.
Did she have strong opinions about who you all married and what you all did for a living and those types of things?
Yes.
And you're obviously a doctor. Was that an acceptable profession to her?
Yeah, that was okay.
Okay. And was that one of the reasons you became a doctor?
Yes.
Okay. How involved was Donna in yours, Charlie, and Wendy Adelson's life after you grew up, became adults, and had kids of your own?
I think still involved.
Was she more involved with your life, Charlie's life, or Wendy's life, would you say?
You're probably more involved with Wendy and probably to a lesser degree with Charlie.
Okay. And then would you be she's the least involved with your life out of the three?
Yeah, probably because I was older, but sure, I agree.
Okay. So you're the oldest child. You're out of the house before the other two?
Yep.
Okay. And then you also lived other places after you went to college throughout the rest of your life?
Yes.
Now, was this like a healthy level of involvement that she had with the three of your lives, or was it more of like a micromanaging as you saw it?
I think it was certainly between over-involved and controlling. It probably lended itself more toward controlling, but in various realms, more or less, but I think certainly that was a tension.
Okay. So a little more on the controlling side.
Yes.
There you go. So pretty much painting the picture we all know about Donna.
Yeah, he is.
And
very gutsy. He's probably got a hit out on him,
Yeah, from somebody's ex-friend or something. I mean, the whole idea was so sloppy to begin with. Like, I'm surprised they didn't go to like buyahitman.com and go, oh, that's real. That sounds like a thing. It's ridiculous how sloppy the whole damn thing is. What'd you think of Harvey sitting there? If you're watching this on YouTube, we got a chance to see Harvey, and he's just kind of sitting there. I can't imagine what the hell's going through his mind right now.
Well, his world has been absolutely turned upside down. To me, he strikes me as the submissive husband.
Yeah.
Who has had his like nose grabbed throughout the entire marriage, that she leads him around by the nose or some other appendage. And he just does what he's supposed to do because she runs the family. And now she's out of the picture. So he's kind of torn. Like, am I in charge? Is she still in charge? Is anyone in charge? What am I supposed to be doing with my life? That's what I get from him.
I think it's probably, he had his role and it worked for so long. And now everything has imploded because, he's not just the moneymaker anymore. And the doctor over here, he's like, Donna's gone. The kids, Charlie's gone. I don't know. I mean, after seeing the testimony today that we'll watch in a little bit from her ex-boyfriend, I wouldn't be surprised if Wendy's gone soon.
Yeah.
I hope she enjoyed the years that she had with her kids while they were younger. I know they're like in high school now, and I hope that I hope that they had some good memories with mom. And I don't know how involved she was in this, but I think there's a lot of evidence that may point to her going away for a little while.
There's a lot of evidence.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
And it all depends on how these immunity deals are structured and everything. But I'd be a bit concerned if I were Wendy at the end of this, because this is how they tend to strike. It's like, okay, that one's down, that one's down, this one's down. Oh, here's more information on that one. And this trial ends, and guess who gets arrested just a few days later? If you're thinking about that one-way ticket to Vietnam, Wendy, I'd be booking that flight pretty quick. Donna, very, very integral, obviously, as Robert talked about, controlling, and so much so Wendy's a 30-some-year-old adult, professional. You know, she's not struggling here. It's not, you know, she's doing okay. She's got her own life going on. And Donna sees it fit that she should be the one that goes and rents her an apartment, changes her name publicly, like starts calling her Adelson again without Wendy even, you know, making that choice for her own self, putting the kids in the Adelson name again, without any discussion, just this is how it's going to be, arranging movers, moving money, and planning for Wendy's departure. And as we heard in Wendy's testimony, basically it wouldn't have happened without the Amesh family all pressuring her to leave her husband. Here's what the brother had to say about his observations of all of that in court.
What did Donna Adelson tell you about the plan for Wendy Adelson to leave the marriage?
Sure. When she told me that when that she had been in Tallahassee for several months.
This is Donna Adelson happened?
Yes. That she had been in Tallahassee for several months, renting a new place for Wendy, arranging for movers, moving money around and getting things set up. I only knew this after Wendy had moved out, but she was relating to me what had occurred over the summer. So I heard this all at once, but, you know, probably 5-6 days after Wendy had moved out, and then told me that the, you know, somewhat gleefully or, you know, pleased that they timed the phone call to Danny right before he was supposed to give a speech at the meeting he was at.
Okay. So a couple questions about that. You said Donna said that she had been up here in Tallahassee moving money around and getting things ready for Wendy. Do you mean for when Wendy moved out and needed a place of her own?
Yes.
Okay. And what did Donna tell you that she did to try to, I guess, hide the fact that they were renting a place for Wendy?
I remember her saying she had used her maiden name so there wouldn't be an Adelson up here renting, you know, or hiring movers or such.
Just so, like, word of mouth wouldn't get around that Wendy Adelson was renting an apartment, something like that.
Sure.
Okay. So they used Donna's maiden name.
Yes.
Donna did. And then you said that their plan was for Wendy to call Dan Markell as he was getting on stage or right before he got on stage to give a speech at a conference.
That's what I was told.
Okay. And what was Donna's demeanor when she was describing this plan to you about how she was able to set up this place for Wendy to live in, everything was ready for her, and then this is how she gave Dan the news?
I think she sounded...
Donna's the one that gave the news? If not, then we've
got... I believe the question was, what was her demeanor? You may answer the question.
She sounded pleased to me.
She sounded pleased to me.
Was she sitting there like Mr. Smithers from The Simpsons? Oh. Like, yes.
For the love of God, these are adults. And
they're supposed to be.
And you're... It's not like Danny was this villainous, horrible figure. He was just trying to exercise his rights to see his kids.
He was trying to exist as a father.
Yeah. And the petty destructiveness, I think, is in full glory in showing here when Donna Adelson has to think it in her mind as only a narcissist mother-in-law could. Oh, let's call him right before he has something really important. He's going to go on stage and give a speech. Let's fuck with him right now.
Yep.
Like, that's going to make you, like, how empty and sad are you inside as a human being that is like, oh, this is going to be great. I mean, that's like third grade level, like, oh, we're gonna get back at, like, come on. I mean, you know what he's doing? He's making money to provide for your grandchildren, you dumb bitch. And you're like, oh, let's destroy him. God, she's a triggering individual, I think, for a lot of people.
Here's what I want to know, Tony.
Yeah.
What else has she done?
Yeah.
Well, who probably else a lot of lives has she destroyed that they just went, oh my God, I'm just going to walk away and not do anything, not say anything. I'm just collateral damage. I'm leaving.
Well, these type of people, they present really good. They can play a really good game. So yeah. I'm guessing, you know, in her social circles and around town, she looked like the best damn mom in the world. Look how concerned she is about everything. Oh, look, it must be so great. And I'm sure the kids always heard, you are so lucky to have her as a mom, you know, because she's the one that's just knocking it out of the park. But in reality, it's just over control and then giving your children a living hell when you don't agree with exactly what she wants you to do. Mm-hmm. And it's all in the guise of, oh, I'm just, this is the way she acts in court. I'm just, it's just that when they begin the sentences with, it's just, I just mean, you were what you mean? You were wanting to do this over here and you got caught. So you were just getting caught doing that shit where you were not wanting to get caught at.
Correct.
Is that what we're getting at? Well, I was, that's Donna and they're monsters. It's something where I'm going to guess Donna had a lot of little, I don't even say little, but there was probably a lot of passive aggressive controlling actions that she has taken throughout her entire life with every relationship she has ever encountered to go to her liking. And some of that I'm sure was caught by some people. And I'm sure there's people out there that are not big fans of Donna Adelson. And I'm sure there's some that are looking at her going, I can't believe that this is that person. Because they put on quite a front, and she did. She put on a good front, you know, until everything behind closed doors got exposed.
I would bet you money that at the whatever meetings that she went to, whether it was the country club, you know, the women's groups, people freaking love her. She is a take charge kind of woman. Yeah. Don't mess with her until you do mess with her, and then you are screwed.
I've
known people like this. I had a grandmother very similar to this. She never killed anybody that I know of, but goodness. Yeah. You don't mess with grandma.
Yeah. I've encountered a lot of folks in this vein and it's, I mean, you just, the scary thing, I mean, a lot of them don't go to this length, but the thing is a lot of them are capable if presented with the option and it seems to make sense. To their, you know, twisted, you know, way of thinking. That's, you just, you don't know. There's so many, you know, they have their cognitive distortions of reality and they operate by them and the rest of the world be damned. Let's take a look at this is one of the clips that really, I think, if I was a juror, this is where it gets me checking the box that Donna Adelson is guilty already. Let's take a look.
All right. So how did you first hear about Dan Markell's murder?
I heard the day after the shooting occurred. So that would be Saturday, July 19. I was at a meeting in Chicago and I think I got a phone call first and that I was in a meeting. And so I just said, can I call you later? And then I got a text message shortly thereafter, like right before 10 in the morning, that said, like, tragedy here, please call.
And are these from Donna Adelson?
Yes.
Okay. So were you able to call her that morning from the conference in Chicago?
Yeah. So I walked out and went to the hotel lobby and just hit call.
Okay. And tell us about that conversation with her.
So, it's one of those moments that, you know, you'll just remember forever. So I remember being, you know, in the lobby of the Westin and, you know, I assumed something, you know, terrible had happened. And, but I wasn't ready for it. She said, so we just want to let you know that, Danny's been shot and, they took him to the hospital, but he didn't make it. And it didn't make any sense. And, you know, I probably asked like a few medical questions and they said they're driving up to go help Wendy and, you know, we'll talk to you later. We can't talk now.
Okay. Was she crying in that conversation?
Not in that conversation.
Sir?
No, she was not.
Okay.
It was very matter of fact.
Did she ever give you any further detail that weekend about how he'd been shot or other than just Danny was shot and he didn't make it?
I think it was the next day. So the only really other time that I spoke with him that weekend, I was in the airport going home like Sunday afternoon. So it was definitely the next day. And, it was the first time I could actually have any kind of conversation. And, one of the things that she told me is, it bothered me, but I didn't have any other details about it. But she said that, someone went to the front door and said, "Are you Dan Markell?" And then shot him. And then I said, "Well, how could you know that? Who's telling you that?" And she said, "Well, that's just what they're telling us." And okay.
So she said someone told her that someone knocked on Danny's door, said, "Are you Dan Markell?" He said, "Yes." And the shooter shot him.
That's the story I heard. And, later we found out that wasn't what happened, but that story bothered me a lot because there's only one way you could hear that story.
Was she crying when she told you that information?
No.
Yeah. Oh, weird to know that. I mean, I don't know. I know I said that's the one that did it for me. I actually think it's a one a little bit further down, but that was certainly what piqued a lot of curiosity. I could see someone like Donna, who likes to play shit up and to be overly, dramatic about things like tragedy here, please call.
Yeah.
It certainly is, but I don't know. I could see that just something flowing out of her mouth, just without even thinking of, she's going to describe the situation and catastrophize it even worse than it already is, and add her own narrative to it. And then people start repeating it and it's like, oh, Donna said that. I get it. It is weird though. I could see that being like, too much.
It's different. And especially, she's innocent until proven guilty here. Mm-hmm. But you would think if you didn't want to get implicated in something like this, if you had a hand in it, you might want to act emotional and upset. Yeah. We've watched enough CSI that I would think you would understand how you should react in a situation like that, even if you're the one who perpetrated it.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen enough Hollywood movies to figure out how to act in this situation.
Well, at the same point, though, too, look at it this way. If you're the former in-law, they're already divorced. It's already dicey and already difficult. And he's putting up roadblocks because he doesn't want you to move the kids down there. And you're saying horrible things. And he's taking you back to court, trying to actually get your rights taken away from you for seeing the children because you've dug your own hole over here. If for some reason somebody else killed Dan Markell, and she had nothing to do with it, I wouldn't be surprised that she would be happy or at least not emotional and more matter of fact, you feel bad for your grandchildren, you feel bad for your daughter and that, but maybe you're a little more emotionally absent because you have such angst against that person. Not that you'd wish them dead, although I think it's different here. But if it were just a normal person, I guess, but I don't think we're dealing with a normal person.
No, we're not. And every situation's different. People deal with trauma differently. People deal with grief differently. So it's hard to step back and say, well, here's what she should have done. But
everything else
is very controlled in her life.
Yeah. Well,
it's
then she starts to, I think, realize that little fact that, I might be losing some control in my emotions here. Maybe I should pull that back. And what innocent people, don't do? They don't tell the son that's in another part of the country and has absolutely nothing to do with this. Don't talk to the police.
Yeah, that's a problem. That's a huge freaking problem.
That's exactly what she did, though. And here's him talking about that in court.
After that conversation with the FBI, did Donna Adelson ever say anything to you about having talked to law enforcement or the FBI?
It was either that afternoon or the next day. But, and she called me and said, I just want to let you know, if the police come around, don't talk to them.
Okay. So she told you not to talk to law enforcement.
Correct.
Did you let her know that you already had talked to law enforcement?
Yeah, I said, I already did.
What'd she say to that?
She said, oh, well, you don't know anything anyway.
You don't know anything anyway?
Correct.
Was that an unusual statement coming from your mother?
Yeah, I mean, everything that week was unusual, but I mean, I clearly didn't know anything, but I wasn't going to not talk to the FBI if they show up at my house.
How did you respond? Let me ask you this. After the murder of Dan Markell, did Donna Adelson seem curious about who killed Dan Markell?
No.
Was there a complete lack of curiosity?
Yeah, nobody seemed curious.
Did you actually ever ask her, like, after the murder, like, hey, like, what do you think happened?
Yeah, and, you know, the conversations were kind of rerouted, or that was certainly discouraged. And it was probably like maybe sometime like mid-August, you know, when I finally had a chance to ask and say, you know what is going on? This was not a small event. This was getting a lot of notoriety. And I said, you know, what do you guys think happened? And she had said, you know, I don't know and I don't care. It doesn't concern me.
Was that out of character for her to not be curious and not be asking some questions?
Yeah, I mean, it was an unsolved murder of, you know, my former brother-in-law, like someone that we all know very well. I mean, if it was like some neighborhood gossip, people would be interested. This was like national interest, and nobody had any curiosity about, you know, who did this to Danny.
Is a person, you mentioned that, you know, not only is it your brother-in-law, but it was like national news at that point as well.
Yes.
And regardless of it being national news or not, I mean, is a person dying from gun violence an extremely unusual thing to happen in your family?
Yeah. I mean, to this day, Danny's the only person that I know who's died from gun violence or been a victim of gun violence. So it's unique in that manner.
What would your mom, Donna Adelson, do if you did try to, like, ask her any more about Danny's murder after that?
It wasn't a subject for discussion. You know, it would be rerouted or, you know, it was just not a subject to discuss.
When you say rerouted, do you mean, like, changing the subject?
Yeah.
Okay.
I like that term, rerouted.
Yeah.
I'm going to use that.
You're writing that down, aren't you?
Yeah, because there's when people do that, that's a great way when they start to like jump around to something else to avoid dealing with this over here, the original subject. We're not going to reroute. Nope. We're going to go back.
We're going to circle back to it is another way. A circle back. It drives me nuts. I had a manager who was always saying, let's circle back to that. Yeah. Now let's just talk about it again. Damn it. You know,
I mean, just you don't know anything anyway.
That's a presumptuous thing to say to somebody who is so studied.
Someone who's guilty says that. Who's
well,
an idiot.
Right. Yeah. But, you know, she's talking to her son, who is a physician, a very smart, studious person. And she's just putting a blanket statement over him. Mm-hmm. Play dumb, play stupid. Yeah. This is not a guy who can play stupid.
No. Did we hit the part, Todd, where she hangs up, or was that all in that piece, or is that
that's still coming?
Let's listen, because this is the addition to it, and this is another. Here we go. Let's take a look at this part.
So, on the 28th, did you talk to Donna Adelson?
Yes.
All right. And when she called you, was she telling you the good news that Danny's killers were arrested?
No, just called us for anniversary, you know, and you know, wished us well and had some small talk for a bit. I kind of let it go for a little bit. And I mean, this was not small news. And so I finally broached the topic and said, you know, they found the guy, they arrested someone who killed Danny. You know, there's no response. And then I said it, you know, at least two or three times that, you know, they made an arrest. They got the guy who killed Danny. Yeah, and then her response was, you know, I've got to go.
Got to go.
And then did she hang up the phone after that?
Yes.
Wow.
That's not weird or anything. I mean, just avoiding it altogether. acknowledging the arrests.
Click.
Yeah. That pointed directly toward the family. Yeah. Just, nope, gotta go. Can't talk right now. Redirected, rerouted it.
That's an overarching theme for this family, isn't it?
He uses that term a lot. I mean, that word was said quite a bit, and I'm guessing that's how he's described mom for quite a while.
That's probably with the help of his therapist.
Yeah, I'm gonna guess very much so. So that was the estranged son that was up there, Roberts, talking about what's going on with the family from his perspective. This next round of stuff, this is going to be Wendy's ex-boyfriend who testified. Jeff, Todd, are we starting with Wendy or are we starting with the Donna pieces? In the order that I threw them over to you.
Yep, Wendy into Donna.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure. So let's start talking about this is his observation about Wendy and some possible relocation. Like what would it take? You know, if you wanted to move back close to your family. And again, the verbiage is what speaks volumes about what this family says. And I wonder in this one is Wendy sitting there kind of wondering a little bit, what is my family capable of? Let's take a look at this.
Right. And did the subject of relocation come up?
Yes.
In what context?
It came up in the context of whenever Wendy got back from Miami, she was always very upset about the fact that the relocation had previously been denied. I mean, it had been legally denied, but she wasn't over it. It was a constant refrain about how much she hated Tallahassee. So we're talking about the future relationship. And I'm asking, are you going to be here? Because with the constant complaining about how hard it was on her parents to transport the kids and just the constant complaining, just thinking, is she even going to be here? Is it worth trying to push forward in the relationship? And she said, the only way that I'd ever relocate is if something would have to happen to Dan.
Subjective side ruling at sidebar. The objection is overruled. Pending. Yeah, the matters that do have to be resolved to make it into this problem.
Please repeat your answer.
Yeah, the only way she'd ever be able to relocate is if something happened to Danny, was the first statement.
Only way if something happened to Danny. What a weird way of describing it.
Correct. To me, it felt very specific. Like, why would you say that unless that thought was in your head somewhere?
I've been in that situation before. When I was married and her ex and the situation with my stepdaughter, and because we had talked about, you know, maybe moving someday. This is when I lived in Wichita. And, I was asked about that sometimes, you know, from friends or family, like, ever want to leave, which, like, yeah, but, you know, right now, you know, got to stay here. That's kind of the way the divorce decree is set up. But the only way that would really work is if, you know, they gave permission or, you know, or wanted to move along with us, you know, in their own capacity. So, you know, probably is not going to happen until they're graduated. That was usually how it went. Eventually we actually did move. But no one died and it was an agreed upon. Okay. Yes. We have the blessing. It was never, yeah, if something happens to him, you know? Yeah, it'd be a weird way of phrasing it. I can tell you, I know someone who did say those words, and it wasn't my ex. It was the mother-in-law.
Who I have some experience in this venue.
I always, you know, you always, I'll tell you, you know.
Did you have a target on your head, Tony?
I think that man might have, and I don't know if I would have at some point either, but yeah. A lot of Adelson-y vibes, but without the resources. It's like this is the Taco John's, they're the Ritz. So it wasn't quite the resources one would say, I guess, but not remotely, I think, stable enough to make it work. But, yeah, weirdness, certainly, without a doubt. this is another conversation that the ex had with Wendy, and Wendy, in a moment of trust, opened up to Jeff a little bit about this.
I was getting a little tired of this whole drama around the relocation. And so I pushed back on Wendy a little bit and said, like, you're going to have to kind of make your peace with this. You're going to have to take some responsibility for this. You're linked to Dan Markell for life. Kind of challenged her a little bit. And she said, well, can I tell you something confidentially? And I said, sure. And she said, last summer,
Sam Merlin, remain the objection as a rule. May continue with your answer.
She said, can I tell you something in confidence?
Yeah, can I tell you something after I challenge her? Can I tell you something in confidence? Sure. Last summer, my brother looked into all options possible to take care of the Danny Markell problem, including hiring a hitman. And it would cost about $15,000.
It's not a lot of money.
You have to look at the story from the story's perspective, because you're not looking at it from the story perspective at all.
Yes, not. Sorry.
You are constantly reacting to the story from your mindset.
Yeah, you're right.
Like yesterday there was something like talking about like what one was calling someone, and you're like, that's okay, that's fine.
We all like
you're not thinking of how this is in the story. You're just like, yeah.
Yeah, go get him. Yeah. You know, we all have our own perspectives, and sometimes we can put things aside. Other times it's so stressful you can't. I'm in that stressful phase. I promise I'll swing back around.
I don't know what a hitman would I don't know what a hitman goes for. I would think more than $15,000, but I guess, you know, I've heard of other cases for much less. So probably the quality of your hitman. You know, how many reviews do they have on Uber? You know,
I don't know. I've never checked into it.
Oh my God.
I never have.
You know what we should do? We should create a fake TikTok video that talks about, we'll make up our own conspiracy that there's a certain thing on Uber. And if you order this, you actually are ordering a hitman. And then like some ice cream shop's going to go like, why is everybody coming here asking us if we can, you know, take out their husband or wife? We sell scoops of ice cream.
Yeah. Interesting.
Some angry wife goes in there and is like, I'd like a raspberry cone with 7 scoops to the top.
7 is excessive.
And they're like, we can't fit that on a cone. You know what I mean. And then she just like throws down 10 grand and runs out of the ice cream shop.
Wink, wink, wink.
Hey, it could work out well if people just start dropping money. That would be very interesting to see who shows up for that. This is another really weird piece to all of this. The date. The date of pickup here is what gets really, really bizarre. Take a listen to this this piece from her ex, and we'll discuss on the other side.
Actually, strike that. I'm going to move on to the coffee shop meeting. Familiar with that?
The June 4th coffee shop?
Yes, sir. June 4th, 2014. Did you have plans prior to that meeting to travel with Wendy Adelson over the time frame in which Dan was ultimately killed?
Yeah, that's right. And on June 4th, I had planned to see Wendy and the kids at her house that night. Middle of the day, she called me to sort of an impromptu meeting at Red Eye over on Thomasville. And she abruptly canceled our trip for reasons that didn't make much sense.
When was the trip scheduled to happen?
The 11th to the 17th.
All right, so you would have returned home actually the day before the murder.
Correct.
Okay. And did she express concern about not being home in time to pick up the children?
Yeah, the reason she canceled the trip was, I'm worried we're going to get struck.
As to motive, Judge.
Overall.
I don't care if they go on a trip or not.
right, sir. So the reason for not going on the trip?
The reason for not going on the trip was, well, it was tied up on a couple of things. First of all the stuff going on with Danny was a constant refrain. But given the stuff going on with Danny, she was concerned that she might not be back in time, even though our flight was to land the day before. And it wasn't so odd to me. It wasn't winter. We're going through it. It's like LA to Atlanta to Tallahassee, leaving in the morning. I didn't see any real reason why that would be a problem.
She would have needed to pick up the kids on July 18th.
Right? Yes. She knew that then. Their schedules were planned out for like months.
Okay. So you would have returned on the 17th. And she would have been picking up her children from preschool on the 18th.
Yeah, I think 5 p.m. on the 18th, which is why I didn't object. I just said, okay, I didn't make a thing out of it, but it didn't make any sense.
Okay. And that.
I'm going to go with Wendy New.
Yeah, me too. I would put some money on that.
I think my opinion's been changed.
Oh, to what?
That Wendy knew. Maybe not how, maybe not what, maybe not why.
But she had a hunch.
She knew something was going down.
And I think she probably knew better than to ask questions. It was probably, mom's up to something.
I don't know if she thought they were going to go beat him up, threaten him, do something that was going to make him, like, he's going to change his mind. He'll change his mind.
Yep.
It's minded it up on the garage floor.
Yeah.
So you got that. And yeah. It gets a little weirder.
If you can believe that.
And this is where it gets really weird because we don't have a crazy tight relationship to the level of like where this guy would want to off, Wendy's ex or anything like it's, he seemed to be a fairly like, okay, I'm going, with the flow. This is life, normal human being. What Wendy starts asking him is really, really disturbing. Let's take a look at this.
Yes.
Okay. What happens as you walk away?
I get about 10, 15 feet away from her and she calls after me. I turn around. And she had a series of detailed questions about what I would be doing on Friday. I had a trip to Tennessee planned, and she wanted to know if I was going on that trip. And she wanted to know what route I would be taking. And if I didn't go on the trip, why wouldn't I go on the trip? And I answered the questions as best I could, but I was confused why, at that moment, she wanted to know the details of what I was doing on Friday when she expressly didn't want to spend time with me on Friday.
Okay. And we now know that Dan Markell was murdered on Friday.
Yes.
If you had taken the trip as planned, which is as you reported to Wendy that day, what would your route have been?
I would have left my house at about 11 a.m., which Wendy knew. I'd related my plan to her earlier in the relationship. Need to get to Atlanta for dinner. And was worried about traffic and stuff like that. So I would have left at 11 and I would have driven down. I would have got to Capitol Circle in Thomasville, which is close enough to Danny's house that it kind of gave me the creeps. It was kind of weird. Yeah.
Okay. So physically you're saying you might have been sort of consistent with where the killers.
Yeah. So it was a mode of, maybe we can, this is how I'm taking it anyway, let's blame him. Maybe he's the jealous boyfriend. He's trying to go help the damsel in distress, Wendy, and off her ex-husband.
Yeah.
Even though he really hasn't expressed anything of the sort in any way, shape, or form.
It feels a bit contrived, doesn't it?
And I'm wondering if Donna said to Wendy, ask him what he was doing in some sort of, genius moment that Donna had after, four white Zins, where it was, we can blame him. Yeah. If they ever come questioning us, call him right now, honey. Call him.
Do you think they had like a, you remember in radio when we had the prize wheel? that you could just spin the wheel and like there's people's names on there and let's see who we could blame for this. Mm-hmm. You know, and they spin the wheel and there you go. His name popped up.
I think she had that little moment and it was, oh my gosh. And of course, because if it came from Donna, Donna's telling herself, well, this is great. It came from you, yourself, and you're the greatest already. So call Wendy. Call Wendy. Express this amazing gift of knowledge that you've just had handed to you from the gods. Oh, you queen of the world, Donna. Yeah, that's the... At least that's my conjecture on it. Obviously, I should, you know, preface Donna is, you know, she's being charged with this. She has not been convicted. She is innocent until proven guilty. Wendy's never been charged with anything either, as of yet. But it's all this, you know, alleged, all that stuff. There's more here I want to take a look at. Jeff was talking on the stand also about Wendy's the grandmother motion, basically, that Dan had filed in 2014 to restrict Donna's access to the kids. And it wasn't because Dan was a vicious, awful father that didn't want his kids to have access to his grandmother. No, actually, Grandma was on the other side talking about putting the kids in Hitler Youth costumes and putting them in front of a synagogue or something, taking photos. I mean, that's, honest to God, that's Donna. But Dan, you know, was a little bit concerned that Donna is telling the kids that she hates him and that his dad's stupid and that he's going to take away our sunshine. That shit's triggering to me because that shit I've had happen to me from that very same mother-in-law I was talking about earlier, and with manipulation on kids to try and stop a move. It's controlling, it's narcissistic, and it is rampant. And I don't think Donna saw anything wrong with it. Let's take a look.
Okay. And were you specifically familiar during that time with the litigation seeking to limit Donna Adelson's exposure to the kids or to have her be supervised in the presence of the kids because Dan was alleging that she had made disparaging remarks about him to the children?
Yes, I was aware of that.
How did you become aware of that?
Oh, multiple ways. Wendy talking about it. It's hard to remember which exact emails and motions I was forwarded. But definitely Wendy's talking about it for sure. And perhaps I was sent court materials.
Okay. Were you also shown things in her presence?
Yes.
All right. And if you know, did Wendy take those that particular filing seriously? Was she upset about that or worried about that?
Yes. Every time there was a motion, they took it very seriously. And I'd reported to the police that it was disruptive on the relationship because every time something was filed, dates would get canceled, when he would be in a mood, when he would be upset. So
when you say they took it seriously, who are you referencing?
The entire family, but Wendy was the person I had was having contact with. Okay. But it was known to me that the whole family was upset.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. I mean, and I would be upset too if I was a grandparent and something like that was happening. But you also got to take that moment of self-reflection and go, gee, maybe I shouldn't have tried to turn the kids against their father. Then maybe there wouldn't be the father trying to get a motion for me not to be allowed to see the kids. I mean, to be that dense and that stupid to think that dad's not going to have issue with this. And he's just going to be like, oh, yeah, keep doing that. That sounds lovely. Especially, I'm sure he knew the potential of what Donna Adelson was and is. Yeah. And was weighing all of that diligently. And that's why he wanted to do that order. It's for the safety of the kids.
God.
Yeah. She was involved in pretty much everything. This is what he had to say in our last cut here about just how underneath the skin and down to the bone structure of control Donna was in Wendy's life.
Involved in her daughter's life.
Yes, absolutely.
Was she very involved in her daughter's divorce litigation?
Yes.
And I say divorce, I know the divorce is already final. I'm referencing the subsequent litigation as well.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So it's everything, everywhere you want to be. Donna was.
She is American Express, baby.
Was that American Express? Everywhere you want to be.
Yeah.
What was Visa? Visa was Visa. Or was it Visa? Visa. Everywhere you want to be.
I feel like that was American Express.
Todd?
Any insight, Todd? I'm looking it up.
American Express. I'm going to say Visa. Everywhere you want to be.
I'm going
to
side with, let me make a guess here.
Shit.
I'm going to say Visa. Well, it's you already Visa. Gave it away.
I'm sorry. It is.
Because I'm remembering the voiceover on it, and that's why I'm... What was American Express? Did they have any thing catchy ever? I don't...
I'm looking.
American Express. Donna Adelson's never going to pay her bill.
Yeah, no shit.
Don't leave home without it.
That's
don't,
it. Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry, guys. I very failed.
Close, very close.
That's an obvious one. We should all have known that one. I'm kind of disappointed.
Membership has its privileges.
Yeah, that. Okay, fast food restaurant. Food, folks, and fun.
That wasn't McDonald's, was it?
Yes.
No. What?
Wow.
Like early 90s, late 80s, somewhere around there. Food, folks, and fun. Yep. This is the shit that my mind retains.
I am a very bad Gen Xer. I should have known that.
Yeah, there was. I was pretty good at the slogans and stuff. I think it's called autism.
well, if the shoe fits, my friend.
And I'm not joking. So everybody's like, you can't say that. Yeah, I can. I can. There you go. All right. Let us know your thoughts on Donna. And is she screwed? Is there any coming back from this? Do you think there's any coming back from this, Stacey?
I don't think so. And not only is there no coming back, I think there, unless there's a huge plea agreement here, I think some other people are in some deep shit.
Yeah. I think we're going to keep seeing dominoes fall in this.
And
this
we ain't talking pizza, baby.
No pizza. No noids are being discussed right here.
Do they get pizza in prison?
I don't know. I can't imagine it's a you would think maybe. I would think there would be a cheap one to make.
You'd think. It's just flour, water, and tomato.
And here's a fun little fact. A lot of areas, the food that goes to your children in the public lunch system is also created at the same place that the prison systems come from. So there is some crossover sometimes. So I'm thinking of the school lunch pizza, those big rectangles that
good stuff.
And I loved them.
Yes.
They didn't taste a damn thing like pizza.
No.
But they were good.
That's why I'm over here grimacing. Like, what?
Like,
what's wrong with you two?
I wish I knew what the hell the ingredients were, because it did not resemble the taste of pizza, but it was good.
See, the one that I had in Eden Prairie, Minnesota, did not have any flavor. The sauce was just red sauce without flavor. It was bland. The only flavor you got was from the cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, that's they didn't do a lot of flavor. Did you have John Marzetti?
No.
Todd?
I don't know what that is.
Maybe that was only in my district. I think it was like named after like some old cookers. That's why I don't know if it was like a generic story or what. It's basically just goulash. And it was basically at the end of the week, sometimes they'd have all the extra ingredients that could make this kind of goulashy noodle, you know, tomato beef dish. And that was John Marzetti.
Did it have noodles in it?
Yeah, a lot of them.
Okay, like elbow noodles.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. It was okay. It was just, you know, they never had much seasoning on much. But the fake weird cardboard pizza, I should just take a piece of cardboard and just put some cheese on it. That might emulate the school experience.
You know what? Pizza really is good. And you're probably going to just bolt, like, get me out of this entire broadcast. Like, it's over. Totino's Pizza. It's just... See, you're going to eject me, aren't you?
I'll eat the pizza rolls. I mean, that's a great night. That's a great night snack. That's a great late night snack, especially if you have the munchies or something. That, a little bit of ranch, you're good. Little sriracha. I'll even accent it with a little bit of honey, you know, kind of, you know, really.
You gotta fancy it up.
Really fancy it. Maybe a little truffle oil drizzled on top. And then we'll take some balsamic and then drizzle it over and shave some freshly grated Parmesan over the top. Then dust it with some basil leaves. Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, that's the question right there. That is a big question with a lot of answers.
Without that type of neuroticism, we wouldn't be here.
None of us would have jobs. I am so grateful for how crazy you are. I love it.
Willy Wonka. So there you go. Let us know your thoughts in the comments section on YouTube. Wherever you are listening, be sure to press subscribe. If it's on a podcast platform, Apple Podcasts, iHeart, whatever it is, hit subscribe. And please do let us know your thoughts in the comments on YouTube. Until next time, for Todd and Stacey, I'm Tony Bruschi. We will talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now. And don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.